Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, live at Wildcat Golf Club for our occasional invitational. If you haven't played out here in a while, you need to get out here and see how great the course is. I mean, Elmer and Tim do an unbelievable job pouring money back into the course, making it look great, keeping it green, keeping the greens perfect. I see him with all the guys out here, Howie and all of the guys out here all the time, and they're constantly working on this golf course. A lot of courses don't. They don't care. They don't. Let's just grab as much as we can. It looks fine. That's not the case here. These guys work tirelessly to make Wildcat as good as it could possibly be. So it is great. The course is great right now.
I hope this guy's joking. He said, D.H. Green said, you spent a segment asking why does everyone care about Lamar's money. Then you spent the next segment caring about Tucker and Fromber's money. No. I care about keeping them. I care about a fundamental – I actually care about – the Astros showing and proving that they can pay to keep certain core players. If you, hopefully you're joking and you can understand that, DH.
There's a difference in, oh, they're not pay, you know, there's a difference in that.
Just get, that's like if I said, well, first of all, if Ravens fans are upset, that's totally understandable. That's their quarterback. These are my players. So I don't, DH Green, I think you are struggling to understand the concept of what I'm talking about.
What you were saying is that the national people trying to make sure that Lamar gets paid.
Yeah, let's just make sure. Or people on Twitter who aren't even fans of the Ravens. Who, let's make sure. This is like if I was just somebody random saying, give Kyle Tucker whatever he wants. You know, like, why would you care? I am sitting here literally having a conversation about a philosophy of a team. Are they going to be able to keep core players? I'm sorry if you understand the concept.
They haven't, and yet they've been great. And yet they've been great. And yet everything that they do, they touch, turns to gold because they're pretty damn good at behind-the-scenes stuff. The evaluation process, the development process, just outstanding. And as much as you know, Jeff Luhnow has been vilified over these last couple of years – and the way that he did business, Jeff Luhnow is a baseball savant. Jeff Luhnow put this together. You could argue that Jeff Luhnow is one of the great general managers of in his short tenure as a general manager, relatively speaking. We've seen general managers in 10, 20, 25, 30 years that they've been general managers. Jeff Luhnow, in his short time, what he did with this organization, scraping the bottom of the barrel when he got here to what we are, what this organization is now.
It's incredible.
He is totally, totally responsible for that. Yeah. Now, may not have been the greatest guy to work for, may have been a toxic situation, may have been, you know, pretty ugly to some people, oh well, and may have been win at all costs. He put together just a juggernaut. A literal, this is a dynasty. I don't care what your definition of dynasty is. This Houston Astros team is a dynasty.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's extended since 17. I mean, they've 5 straight years in the ALCS. It is a dynasty, and they keep winning it. Will continue to be. So Yeah, Jeff Lynette did a great job. The problem you have is that there are, you know, by all accounts, the Astros' depth of their minor league system is not great relative to the rest of the league. And, yes, they did have Jeremy Pena come up. They have had one guy come up every other year. I would argue that I don't know that Jake Myers or Chas McCormick or anything special in terms of minor league call-ups. I don't. Their bullpen is not made up of a bunch of minor league guys. I think their pitching staff obviously has been great. A lot of that has been obviously the international signings from Latin American countries has played a massive, massive role in the success that you've had. But that goes away if you start to miss on drafts. Like, you can't afford to miss on draft picks. You already had 2 years where you didn't have a first and second. That hurts. That hurts your depth. Now, if you miss on a couple years of draft picks, all of a sudden you're talking about a 4-year run where there's gaps, and it's going to hurt unless you're killing it another round. So there's a reason to be a little concerned when you let core players get away. It's not now, but it will have an impact down the road. The same way, you know, the Texans, when they didn't have their first and second round picks because of the Laremy Tunsil deal, it ended up being a problem for them because they were depleted and they weren't able to bolster their roster like they needed to. You have to have picks. You have to develop your own. The Astros are going to be a sign and develop team, then they have to continue to do that well, and that's not always easy. And the more core players you can sign, like Jose Altuve, like Yordan Alvarez, like Framber Valdez, like Alex Bregman, or like Kyle Tucker, you know, you got to try to keep 5 core guys on your team at all times.
Yep.
That's just my feeling. It was great when there were 7, but it was always unrealistic because you were never going to be able to.
And yet you still have the best lineup in baseball.
With
all the guys you lost, you have one of the best rotations, an underrated rotation.
Because of club control.
Yeah, because you did a hell of a job.
No, you did, but it's only because of club control. Right. Obviously, if everyone's a free agent, you wouldn't be able to afford it.
In the Athletic, Stephen Nesbitt says this: What Astros will be most affected by the rule changes? He says Kyle Tucker will be.
In a positive way.
In a positive way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Tucker was shifted just 36.1% of the plate appearances of rookie in 2018, and then he's been shifted more and more, topping out at 90.9%. He was shifted on 9 out of 10 times. He and Yordan Alvarez, 88.1, are two of the most frequently shifted lefties on. Benefit greatly from shift restrictions here in 2023, giving him obviously better chances to hit. Bigger bases and pickoff limits could also mean more steals for Tucker. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Despite not possessing elite speed, he had 25 steals and 29 tries.
People need to stop just because he's a white guy. Kyle Tucker can run.
He can run.
He can run. 25 of 29, despite not having elite speed, he's a great base runner, period. George Springer seems
fast.
Who's
a better base runner, him or Jeff Bagwell?
Well, Jeff Bagwell's the greatest base. He's a Hall of Fame base runner.
He didn't make it to the Hall of Fame because of base running.
Partly.
He was. You know, do you know how hard it is to cut that corner rounding from third to home?
It's turned into like an inside joke because everyone raves about Jeff Bagwell's base running to the point that it became a narrative that overshadowed everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, George Springer appears to have good speed on the field. He got picked off a bunch. But he had a terrible base stealing. I think Kyle Tucker's way faster than people think. Regardless, you know what I'm worried about? That new outfield shift that we saw.
Yeah.
Why would teams not continue to do that on
Kyle
Tucker?
Well, if you're...
Until he can hit one that's an inside the park home run.
Well, Yordan, you can't. I don't think you can do that.
Can't do it against Yordan.
Because Yordan will go the other way.
He
will go the other way.
Yordan, you can't super shift on. But the new shift, for those who haven't seen it, because baseball is always looking for loopholes. That's why everybody cheats in baseball and always has. If they either find loopholes or they directly cheat. That's just what the sport is. And the new one is where you basically take your center fielder, for example, and move them into that second base spot where Altuve, you know, used to play on the grass for the Astros super shift, and then you shift the outfielder from left field over towards center field, and you basically super shift the outfield. They're not super shifting the infield. Now, it's more dangerous because if, you know, you hit one left, if you hit it during against the infield shift, that's a single. If you hit it over the third baseman on that shift, the third baseman is having to run and going to the corner and get the ball. And it's at least a triple and a good chance you're going to see inside the park home runs.
Absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776, 813, live at Wildcat Golf Club. Want to thank all of our sponsors here today. How about this? Doc Manavis from Access Vascular Health. Thank you. I want to thank Artisan Grange, my guys with the dip. Mendocino Farms, Gentle Ben, Texas Custom Patios, your guy, Steven. Legacy Golf, Car Box, Sight Jab, Houston Powder Coaters, Nice Job Drift Bar, Houston Dynamo, CGI, ESPN, Gulf Coast Chevy, the Morley Law Firm, HRP. Sight Jab is our presenting sponsor. Carbach Brewing, Mendocino Farms is giving lunch. Thank you. Their charity is Kids Meals. So thank you to all of you for being part of our occasional invitational. And it's not really an invitational. You get to sign up. We're just inviting you to come out and sign up. Thank you for all that you do and for feeding kids. We really appreciate it. Listen, if you don't have, if it's not a great day, if it's raining, if it is dark out, you can't play golf, right? What? Yes, you can. T-Box Texas. My man Daniel, his wife, Catherine, Corey, Brian, all of the people over there, the bartenders, everybody cannot be more accommodating. They want you to have fun. They want you to have libations. They want you to be able to watch sports. They want you to be able to play golf, no matter what it is outside. This will be especially good in the summer. Like, Lance is a big wuss, and he doesn't like to be outside during the summer, right?
T-Box sounds amazing.
It doesn't it? I mean, you can play
unless
golf
it's
inside.
Built outside in the humidity.
No, it's inside.
Oh, okay.
Air conditioned. And you can play golf in the air conditioning with 8 simulators, playing all the different courses, hundreds of different courses that you can choose from, beautiful and wonderful and famous courses that you can play and see what they're like all at one place. You want to get in the league, you want to have meetings, you want to have your birthday party there, you got it. TBoxTexas.com. That's TBoxTexas.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
ITLaw.com.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live at Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational. Thank you for being here. Everybody who's going to play, thank you for all our sponsors. Thank you for Wildcat Golf Club, Tim and Elmer do an unbelievable job. And Nick, too. Although they had it during Lent, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to be able to drink. I'm going to be playing. I'm going to be jumping from team to team and hitting shots for teams and being a part. I'll be your fifth man when I join your team. So you can use my shot. And you're just going to cheat anyway and put down birdies when you don't get birdies. It's what they do. I'm going to see out there, too, because I'm going to see – hopefully I'll be able to see all the teams. And when they come in with a 54, you know, for 18 holes that they birdied every hole, I'm going to go, no, you didn't. You guys suck. There's zero zero chance you birdied every hole because it's ridiculous. I'm like 52. We've had 52 out here.
Yeah.
Just stop. You didn't birdie an eagle two holes.
So I'm always a big believer in there are certain life deterrents that will keep things from happening. If there is secret film, if somebody following guys around and keeping their scores very quietly, maybe a drone is flying overhead, and they catch you lying, and then the entire team gets tased, do you think we get the real scores?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, then we've got to start introducing tasing. Because our society would be more honest. Yeah. If you run red lights, you get tased. Is that fair, John?
Oh, my God. I wish I had a taser the other day.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you didn't. Because it's Houston sports talk host John Granato was involved in a traffic altercation and tased an immigrant man. And then like, oh, no. Why couldn't you just tased an unpopular person?
Well, If somebody,
don't want you to have a taser on your person.
If somebody runs a red light, shouldn't they be tased?
Well, yes. But you shouldn't get to do it. You shouldn't have it in your – it should be a – like a – I mean, okay, I say it out loud and it sounds like something that would happen on Handmaid's Tale. But I'm not saying Handmaid's, but maybe there should be what would be Aunt Lydia's who end up getting people tased. Like, she actually did that.
Yeah.
But maybe there should be that because then there's deterrence – from, I've noticed the running of red lights has become a real problem. Some people just
don't care
about any rules in society. It's gotten to the point where stoplights, red lights, they don't care. They roll on with their paper tags, and that's that. If they were tased, I think they would be like, you know what? I maybe should I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop here.
Just for not even having
a taste.
So the guy that hit me had paper tags, no driver's license.
He was a paper tag guy?
Paper tag guy.
Yeah.
No driver's license. And – could barely speak English.
And had?
And had insurance.
This is, once again, this is the, and you're sure it works.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
So this is the most, first of all, shout out to that guy for doing the right thing, having insurance. That's incredible. Number two, do you understand no license, paper tags, and insurance? That's a trifecta that never hits.
And stopped. Not only stopped.
And stopped, yeah.
Wait, we had pulled into a parking lot. We were out there for about 20 minutes, a half hour.
Hey, coming. Please don't.
I called the cops. They were like, do you need an ambulance?
Yeah.
No.
They want to know if there's immediate help.
Okay. Nobody's injured? No. Okay, well, we'll send somebody. Not.
They did. I had the same thing happen when I got hit by
a driver.
But it's if you knew, if you knew certain things were punishable by tasing, and once again, it would require us all to wear some type of device where we just randomly get tased probably.
Right.
Maybe not a public tasing, but maybe a public tasing would be good.
That would be fine.
Now, I'm a rule follower, so I don't figure I'll get tased much. I figure although I have run a red light, not anymore.
Yeah.
I can promise you this. When I say run a red light, you know, it's the yellow-red border, not just like, shoo.
No. I hit yellow. Yeah. You know what?
I mean, that's...
When nobody's about to go...
I'm talking about when it is red and a guy is three seconds later, I'm just thinking, wow,
is that dangerous? You're ready to kill somebody.
Yeah.
You're actually trying to kill someone. Let's get to this Kendrick Perkins thing.
Okay.
All right. Sean, you got this. Kendrick Perkins...
Kendrick is not, for me, is not the greatest. Like, there are so many other players who I think are really good on the air.
Yeah.
Kendrick is not at the top of my list for great basketball analysis.
So it's Stephen A., J.J. Redick, Kendrick Perkins in the boxes on ESPN arguing about Nikola Jokic.
You want to set up why he was upset?
Well, here's the deal is J.J. Redick is upset because Kendrick Perkins went back to 1990 – and said, the only guys who win NBA MVPs
just named
outside of the top 10 scorers are white guys.
He didn't say that. I think he just named them. He goes, here are the guys. It's Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash, and Jokic.
And Jokic.
Jokic would have been top 10 scorers, right? He's not top 10 scorer?
Well,
no, it was another.
Well, maybe he just said, look at these not – look at Nash and Nowitzki. They were not top 10 scorers. When you go back, and he only went back to 1990, and J.J. Redick, rightfully so.
Well, but he went further than that. He said that the voters for MVP
are
80% white. Well, he said, you'll hear it here. His intimation is that the voters in MVP are racist, which is we have allowed people as a society to make extraordinarily reckless comments to just go unchecked. And now it's become like it's really unfair to place that when you have a guy like Jokic. But it also had to do with stat padding. So you're going to hear something about that because he claims that Jokic pads his stats.
And Jokic even jokingly said he does.
Right.
But here's J.J. Redick having none of it.
I want to just say something. Stephen A., I mean no offense to you, and I mean no offense to First Take, because I think this show is extremely valuable. It is an honor to be on this desk every day. It really is. But what we've just witnessed is the problem with this show, where we create narratives that do not exist in reality. The implication, what you are implying, that the white voters that vote on NBA are racist that are they favor white people. You just said that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That is exactly what you implied, Kendrick Perkins. That is exactly what you implied. Secondly, hold on.
I did not call. I stated the facts. And you're not about to sit up.
We all know what you implied the other day. We all know what you implied just now. Hold on.
I stated it. It's the facts. It's the facts. It's the facts.
That's part of it. JJ went on to say,
Very small part of it.
So you you conveniently went back to stats to 1990, when in 3 times from 86 to 89, Magic won the MVP.
Not in the top 10.
And he was not in the top 10 in scoring.
It's called data dredging.
Yeah. Why did you stop at 1990 when Magic Johnson won 3 times and wasn't a top 10 scorer?
Now Kendrick says something that is accurate. Well, we're not going to hear it, but he says, I just want to know, number one, going against Jokic, that's fine, but you cannot say it's because he's white. He's a European. He's not even an American-born player. The voters are American. It's so ridiculous. If you want to argue that I thought last year Embiid should have won it, I had a basketball argument for it. I mean, I just thought Embiid should have won it. I thought Embiid might have had that side, but I thought Embiid should have won it. You can make a case for Luka. At one point, you could have this year. But this year, it's Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic. And you can make a case for any of these guys. I mean, that's a true basketball fact. You can make a case for any of these guys. It's just that right now, Jokic has the best team. He is an unbelievable triple-double machine. He's just playing great again. It's like, I know it's unfortunate everyone gets tired of the same guy over and over like they used to get tired of Jordan. But to say that this has anything to do with race is just so preposterous when you look at what Nash was doing at that particular time. Well, I know his argument was Kobe, but Nash had just unbelievable. At that time, it was really kind of unheard of because we hadn't seen – this is the early stages of the Mike D'Antoni offense. It was like, holy crap. And Nash had these incredible shooting numbers, right? He was in the 90 – what is it called? The 90-50-40 club, which is 90 free throws, 50 from the field, 40 from three. Nash was in that. You know, it was an incredible season Steve Nash had. We're kind of used to seeing those numbers a little bit more. But he did make this point, John, and I think this is fair for Kendrick Perkins. He said, I don't know what the criteria is anymore. We don't know what the criteria is anymore. I would say that back when Magic won it, it was about winning, but Magic was also a dynamic everything player, and that was appreciated more then. Now, because triple doubles have become, really, they've become passe. They've become expected because of Russell Westbrook and James Harden's battle back and forth. You know, Jokic gets it, Giannis gets it. Stats are higher and higher than ever before. Now it's pretty much turned into, I think it is, you got to be on one of the best teams and you got to score at a high rate, or you got to perform at a very high rate from a statistical standpoint, which is Giannis, which is Jokic, which is Embiid. That's all three of those guys. So, yeah, I think there was a time where the Magic Johnsons, Steve Nashes of the world were maybe more appreciated. Those days are really over. You have to score a lot now for the MVP. But Dirk Nowitzki had a great year the year he was MVP.
Well, there was one year, 2004, I believe it was, when Nash won the MVP, that there was an argument.
And
J.J. Redick went through it. He goes, you know, Kobe was great, but he was on a 42-40 team. Nash was part of the best record, the best offense in basketball.
It's hard to win when you have that record.
Yeah, I mean, and Kendrick Perkins, blah, you know, listen, there's an argument for. I mean, this it's a vote. People have opinions. Okay, now are there opinions about these guys because they're white? That's such a – yeah, I agree with you. It's so reckless. It's just reckless.
It's reckless because you're making an entire you're making a comment, and Kendrick knows what he's doing, but people – no, I didn't say that. And JJ basically called him out, and he said this is a problem on First Take where these narratives get created are very, very reckless.
But you know what? Kendrick Perkins is going to get another contract because he's creating content.
Yeah, but you know what? I was glad to see somebody push back because – we have to, you know, it's. I'm in a space now, and I've seen this coming for a while, but if you give any negative opinion, or if you give an opinion where you say, look, this quarterback is not doing a very good job of reading. This is why everyone's so terrified to say anything negative about, especially Richardson, because he's the popular quarterback. Like, you can't be. You have to be able to say these are the good things, these are the bad things.
Yep.
The same way you would say them again about Levis or Stroud. Or right. I'm not going to be afraid to do it, personally,
right.
because that's my job.
Yeah, right. Find the Barkley comments. He killed Perkins, too. Haven't seen that. Jackie said he destroyed Kendrick Perkins on that. And that's good to see.
This can't
that, that Charles Barkley, obviously, a black man, says that's ridiculous.
Is this true that did John Morant just get a 50-game suspension?
That's it's going to happen. It just happened. That was the rumor. It was going to happen. We'll talk about that on the other side, right here on ESPN, and what Gilbert Arenas thought about it. We'll do that on the other side.
Oh, no, no, no. Wait.
Or is it just.
I don't know, because somebody says this is from NBA Central. Is that a real account?
The NBA Central?
Yeah.
Like with a check mark by it?
There's no check mark by it.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the NBA Cantrell. Cantrell. Got him. Ooh.
You got
that. That was Coach.
You got God.
Coach Reese said, I hope someone grabs this and runs with it. I'm like, wait a minute. I think I may have just grabbed it.
Time to talk about, well, we're talking about golf, right? And I want to talk about Highland Pines. I want to talk about the course. I just joined. I sent in my application yesterday. I've joined Highland Pines. I can't be happier about it. I can't be more excited about the golf course. I love just beautiful golf courses. I've been talking about here where we are today at Wildcat. I am so excited. This is on the north side of town. People have asked me. It's 99 North, right, at between Highway 59 and Hardy Toll Road and 45. It's right in there. And I just love it. And you are going to love it, too. The grass is crunchy. It's so good.
What's it made of?
It's made of zoysia, okay? Now, from tee to green, it's zoysia. And on the greens, it's laser zoysia, which no other golf course in the world has. The truest putts, fast greens, difficult greens, undulation, elevation changes that you don't see in Houston a lot. They've got the par 3, number 4, which is 230 yards. And that's from the one up, okay? 230-yard par 3, just so awesome. I just love really good golf courses. And this, so many holes have so much character. You're going to love it too. Daily fee, or you can join as a member. You get 3 courses if you join, or you can just get the one. But you got an option for 3 courses at Highland Pines, Augusta Pines, and Glenlock Pines. I'm telling you, I think it's the best deal in golf here in the city of Houston. You're looking to join somewhere, or you're looking for great golf, Highland Pines. GolfHighlandPines.com. GolfHighlandPines.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here to Wildcat Golf Club, live for our occasional invitational. Can't be happier. We're going to have all of our shows out here at Wildcat Golf Club today. Most of the guys are like Lance. They don't play. They're stupid.
Most of the guys don't play?
No.
Well, I know Brad Kellner's out here with my man Connor Black.
They play out here. They don't play on a regular basis.
They don't play on a regular basis.
Brad does. Because people don't have
Joel
more jobs.
Joel says he hasn't played in 4 years because of the baby.
There's
kids.
Jobs and kids. You play every day. You act like that's why are you guys not out of here? And people have jobs.
When I had 3 jobs, 3 kids at home, I was out playing, Lance, okay?
Maybe you should have been working or taking care of your kids.
I was. I was doing it all. But I made time. I had priorities, okay? I played golf. And I wasn't going to let a stupid job or family get in the way.
No, I respect that. Like today, I've got to go do TV and have people yell at me about a mock draft.
Well,
luckily,
you had to change your mock draft.
Yeah, I had to change it because Falcons came out and said, we're not taking Lamar. I would have just left it,
but my editor
said, you need to change it. I'm like, it's going to make me look like a punk. Like, I'm scared of Ravens fans. He goes, no, we're going to put in there because of the information. We can't have Pete Schrager saying one thing and your mock draft just come out saying another. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So I switched it, but I just flip-flopped 2 teams, and it was minimal screwage of my mock. What did JJ say?
JJ Watt said, "What am I missing here? Why are teams coming out and saying that they're not interested in Lamar Jackson, a former MVP, this kind of talent? What am I missing?"
I don't know. I don't know why anyone makes anything. You know, the only thing I can think of is that you want to keep.
How about you're asked and answered?
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
Now, as soon as it came out that it's non-exclusive, are you interested in Lamar Jackson?
Oh, that's probably one of the things is it creates tension and drama in your locker room or with your current quarterback. Like, I could see Miami. Miami's already had to deal with
But why would Atlanta?
I don't know why Atlanta would come out and say that. I don't know why. Because Desmond Ridder's a third rounder. You're not hurting a first rounder's feelings. You went after Deshaun Watson with everything you had last year. I don't know why. I mean, one reason might be because you do plan on doing it later and you're sending a message to
Or maybe you're Lamar looking Jackson. At Lamar Jackson and saying, I want somebody that is going to be there.
It could be
and I don't want to pay a guy. I want to develop a quarterback as opposed to having to pay $250 million right now.
Well, immediately you have to pay. Like, you already know Lamar. So I will tell you this. Lamar's looking for more guaranteed money than Deshaun Watson. Yeah. He wants to be the highest paid quarterback. If you don't see him as that value, if you're a team, then why would you even leave it out there that you might make that move? I mean, or I don't see why you would even comment on it personally. I would just say we don't discuss our business or whatever, and you can have people believing you'll do whatever. I always think that kind of creates more, like it gives you a little bit more juice in the draft. If no one knows what you're going to do, you got a little more leverage to maybe move backwards. You know, people aren't sure if you're going to take a quarterback, yeah. then it stirs up the rest of the first round. Now, maybe Atlanta wants to take a quarterback in the first round too. But it is strange that they went after Deshaun Watson, who has not had the injury history of Lamar Jackson. But they went after Deshaun Watson. They had Deshaun Watson in Cleveland through a Hail Mary that was completed. It is strange that you would come out and just say no, or that you wouldn't be interested in. I would be very interested in Lamar Jackson if I were them. Are you interested as the Texans? You don't love the quarterbacks in this class.
The Wheelhouse boys yesterday were talking about this very thing. Go get them right now. There is no quarterback in this draft that's Lamar Jackson. You agree or disagree?
Agree.
You have
that is Lamar
capital.
Jackson. I think Bryce Young has a chance to be a really good quarterback. But we know about the – but I don't – no. I think Lamar Jackson at his best, but he was an MVP like 3 years ago. We always say MVP. What does that have to do with right now? This guy's lost in the playoffs, and he hasn't finished either of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
What do I care what happened 3 years ago?
Well,
I don't in basketball care what you did 3 years ago. Why do I care in football? Well, it's because he's younger, and you know, I understand that's the – so, look, if I had a chance – if Lamar Jackson's mom says – we will take less somewhere else other than Baltimore because we feel like we're disrespecting Baltimore or whatever. If you knew that you had to guarantee the whole thing, but it was going to be $210 million instead of $230 million, you know, would you consider it? There are scenarios that I would consider absolutely trading for Lamar
Jackson. The second question is Lamar Jackson going to say, I ain't going there?
Yeah, I know. The biggest problem is Lamar Jackson, like Carolina, Washington, and Atlanta and Miami all came out and said, no, we're not going to pursue Lamar Jackson now. They could be lying also.
Yeah.
They could be lying. I would – for me, I'm keeping it open if I'm Miami, and I'm keeping it open. I'm keeping it open if I'm all those teams, honestly. However, yesterday I was trying to – when I did my mock draft, I had the Falcons trading for him because I think Lamar would go to Atlanta. I think he'd like Atlanta. I think Lamar would like the South or Miami, obviously. He's from Florida. I don't know if he'd love Washington. I don't know if he'd love Carolina. And
I think Washington is an attractive place, especially without Daniel Snyder.
But that hasn't happened.
It will.
Yeah, we say that. But let's see. But you look at Washington, I feel like Washington is an attractive. I don't know about the city, but they got a defense.
The city's great.
They got a defense.
The city is great.
Well, it's great to John Granato. Is it great to Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Does he like the weather?
The weather, it's cold.
Yeah.
But that's my not like Minnesota cold or Green Bay cold.
I don't think he's
like
going to go there. I don't think he's going to go there.
He played in Louisville. It gets cold there.
Yeah, but not during football season, really.
Yeah, at the end of the season, it gets cold there.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, they're done about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they get done in November. They're November, not done in January. Yeah. But so I don't. So I, that's what I was trying to. I was trying to think of cities he would like to
Houston.
Be in and stuff. Well, I actually don't.
I would not hate it if no. I would actually. Holy crap! Got Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I would. I would be excited about it. Now, I do think it has to be relative. We already saw some bad deals made for the Texans. I don't want to see them make a bad deal. But if you could give up your first now and a first next year, now that's a two and that's a whatever it is. Like, unless I'm wrong and you give up two in this draft, which I don't think you do. I think you give up one this year, one next year. I would be in. If I were the Texans, I would be in on conversations. I would absolutely have an idea of what I think his value is. And if I don't believe in giving fully guaranteed contracts, you stay with your team philosophy. There's nothing wrong with that. Most teams have that philosophy because this isn't basketball or baseball. And let me, this is what I wanted to bring up before. What do we call it when somebody has a lot of money? Like in business, we hear Dickie right. Rosenfeld. Dickie Rosenfeld used to tell us he had something. What's it called? A lot of older guys will say it when they get to a certain point in their life and they got a bunch of money and they don't
have money.
It's called FU money. It's got a few money. I'm going to do what I want. I got a few money.
But
we're getting to a point now, I feel like, in pro sports, especially in baseball and basketball, where they have guaranteed contracts. And now football, where the money is so high that you sign your second contract, you really don't even need a third.
No.
You're getting FU money now. And it feels like we're seeing some FU attitudes from some of the players, certainly in basketball where they have it. In baseball, it's just it's not FU. You just have to continue to pay it forever. But and you're not sitting out demanding a trade as much in baseball as you see in basketball.
No.
But I feel like once you get to a certain number,
oh yeah, absolutely.
It turns into FU money.
That's right, absolutely. All right, when we come back, we got people on the line. We still got sound that we got to hear. We got to hear from Steve Ballmer. We have to hear from Gilbert Arenas.
Steve Ballmer.
We have to hear from Charles Barkley. We got a lot of stuff to do still while we're at Wildcat Golf Club for our occasional invitational. And listen, the tournament is coming. Make it a money maker with my bookie. Such a great time of the year. Get signed up and ready to make some wagers on the NCAA tournament. You can't watch the NCAA tournament without money on it. You just can't. It's illegal, I think. I'm pretty sure it's illegal. Getting started is easy. Visit my bookie online. Use promo code bet975 to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000, which in other words, they'll match 50%. You put in $2,000, they'll match $1,000. You put in $500, they'll match $250. Put in $100, they'll match $50. So whatever it is that you like to bet or however much you want matched, you got that. If you're the type of guy you want to fill out multiple brackets, you can do that as well. You got, you know, when you put in your initial deposit for a limited time, you get a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at big money. You want to win life-changing money? You can put as many brackets as you want in there. So many online betting sites, they know that. You need a platform that makes it simple to bet and win with MyBookie. Choose mybookie.ag, promo code bet975 for the ultimate sports betting experience. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, we have got a full board. We're live at Wildcat Golf Club for our occasional invitational. So we got to rifle through some calls here, get them in, because we still got a lot of stuff to do here on the show. Gary is first up. He wants to talk about the MVP debate. Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm not agreeing with Kendrick Perkins about the racism. We actually need a new word in this country because it's kind of basic. But I would like to point out a lot of the stars, like Steve Nash has two MVPs, and Shaq and Kobe have two MVPs combined. Right? I'm 40 years old. I lived through that era. He's not a better player than either one of those guys. It's just not. It's just like I have children, and if we look back, they're like, who's Steve Nash? I'd be like, it was a guy who was very good for a little time. But Shaq and Kobe with one MVP apiece, Steve Nash with two. Same thing with Jokic. Jokic's a very, very good player. But if this guy wins three MVPs, then you're like a LeBron or a Jordan. Like, the team doesn't even get past the first round. So the racism thing, I'm not touching that.
Right.
But it's like, why, from a historical perspective, is freaking Jokic going to win three MVPs?
Well, let me hit you with
get out the first round.
Don't hang up yet. Don't hang up, but let's talk about this. So
It's ridiculous. I've always that Kobe has one.
I've always had this same issue with Nash. Like, I've gone and looked at it. I don't have an issue with Nash. It just – it doesn't – that time of basketball, the D'Antoni basketball, which was like – oh, it's kind of like when the run and shoot first came
out. Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look at these numbers. Well, when D'Antoni came in, Nash was like the perfect fit, and he had the perfect cast around him. And Nash shot well. He played well. He was a good player. But it is, like, in the history of basketball, it's not going to make a lot of sense when you see it in the context. I think with Jokic, one thing you have to realize, Jokic right now is shooting 63% from the field. He's had one game under 50%. He's shooting 40% from three. He is averaging a triple-double. He is a big man averaging 10 assists a game. 24 points, 11.8 rebounds, and 10 assists a game. While shooting 40% from three and 63% from the field. There's really no way that he can't be the front runner right now. And his team
is the best team
in the West. It's impossible to argue against it. You can argue whatever you want about the last year or the year before. But, you know, for me, I thought there was a legitimate, you know, I personally thought Embiid and Jokic were head-to-head. And I think there's a legitimate, but I think you're kind of, we're in the middle of Jokic's prime. So when you look at him historically and you're talking Shaq and Kobe, let's remember this guy's likely to play another 8 years.
To Gary's point.
But he needs to win.
To Gary's point, no one looks at Steve Nash as better than Kobe Bryant.
No.
So historically, while he has two MVPs, it's not skewed, Gary. It's not. It's not like, oh my God, well, he's got two MVPs, he's better than Kobe or Shaq. Nobody puts Steve Nash up there.
No, but that's a most valuable. But it, it doesn't look right historically. Dream has one MVP his whole career.
Yeah.
Of course, he played in the Jordan era.
Yeah, I just
there were great players.
Historically, it looks really bad. Yeah. I think Jokic. The only thing about Jokic is really this year. Honestly, I think he's the MVP this year. They were a 60 last year, and that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah.
So you're arguing he's the best player on the best team this year. That's fine. So why did he win it last year when he was a 60? Just saying, right? Once again,
right.
Throw that out the window. It's really criteria is all over freaking play.
He does have Then it's whether is it stats? Kendrick Perkins would bring up a good point. I have no idea what the criteria is. I have no idea what the criteria for MVP
is. Any MVP.
Because you say Kobe didn't win it when he was 42-40, yet he was he scored over 30 points a game. But Jokic was a sixth seed, and he gets it. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Okay, let's get –
although a sixth seed is relative to the – now, you're saying sixth seed, but also look at all the records of all the teams.
Right.
Kobe was 42-40 at that time.
He made the playoffs.
You do have to go look at every year individually and go check it out, because one of the interesting things, you know, Nash went back-to-back. But in 04-05, it was a young LeBron who was just coming on the scene. He'd win his first MVP in 08-09. It was Tim Duncan was trailing off from a career standpoint. We didn't have the same level of – there was no Steph Curry. The star power was – it was
– Kobe.
It wasn't – remember, that's around Dream Team 2 stuff and where we were all like, eh. You had Reggie Miller, who was a good player but not a great player. You had – so it was a weirder – it was a little weirder time in the early 2000s. Not like right now where it's packed with incredible talent.
All right, let's get Will in here, talk Texans QBs. What do you say, Will?
Hey, good morning, y'all. A big fan of the show, longtime listener. So I saw that report regarding the Texans made trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I wanted to get y'all's take. I missed the 7 o'clock hour, so maybe y'all touched on it. But that has me a little concerned because of, obviously, the DeMeco connection and coming from San Francisco. So he's been in that intimate setting in locker room. Does that deter us from getting a Bryce Young in the draft or C.J. Stroud?
No, actually, I think it's great. And I heard I was listening to the boys the other day, and they were talking about, you play a guy right away. No, you don't. Pat Mahomes did not start right away. Pat Mahomes sat for most of his first
year. Jimmy Garoppolo, no Slowick's passing game?
Yes. Yes, right.
In San Francisco.
And DeMeco knows Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep. Jimmy was beloved on that team.
Yes.
Beloved.
And he's a stopgap. And he's a guy that can let a rookie sit and watch.
Does it make it more likely that it's not Bryce Young?
Since
Bryce Young is the most – you don't think there's any chance it could be C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson?
Well, if they like C.J. – now, if they love Bryce Young and they move up to number one, then you don't get Jimmy Garoppolo. That's all. Because you are going to play Bryce Young.
But what if you say we're not trading any draft picks? Instead, our backup plan is going to be Jimmy Garoppolo – And then if Bryce Young, let's say they like Bryce Young, we think CJ still needs time to learn to read defenses or whatever the case may be. So Bryce Young goes first. Good. We've got CJ Stroud or Will Levis or Anthony Richardson to learn behind Jimmy Garoppolo.
Suppose the Bears take Will Anderson.
Then I think you draft so free agency.
And they like Bryce Young.
Okay, so it depends because free agency happens before the draft. So we have free agency, but you don't have to sign.
Well, Jimmy doesn't sign anymore.
You don't have to sign. You kind of get a wink and a nod with Jimmy.
Right.
It's probably what you have to do if you're the Texans.
Or you
but
just
then you have to basically tell them you're coming regardless. And then you try to – now, what if you did this? What if you just said, we're signing Jimmy Garoppolo, we have a rookie contract with Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Levis or Richardson, whoever, and we're going to move Davis Mills while he's young. We're going to try to move him for a fourth-round pick. We spend a third on him. We're going to try to get a fourth on him. Maybe you only get a fifth.
Who's
Davis Mills,
give you
I talked to a team this week that said Davis Mills would be one of those guys you give up a fifth-round pick for.
A fifth.
Well, I'm trying to get something better.
Well, right.
I'm trying to get a fourth.
Ain't nobody giving
and they
you
said,
a
you know, he's got some – they say, you know, he's got some ability. They didn't exactly help him.
He's a backup.
He didn't play well. He's probably a backup.
Okay, I'll give you a fifth or a sixth for him.
Yeah, and maybe you're a team like Carolina and you say, okay, we're not going quarterback. We'll take Davis Love – we'll take Davis Mills, and we'll have him battle with Matt Corral for this job because we're not getting quarterback this year. Because, frankly, you know what Carolina wants to do next year? Suck.
Yeah.
They've got 7 wins this year. You know what would be amazing? To suck for Caleb Williams or Drake May. Carolina, I don't think they want to go out of their way to get a quarterback. No. I think they want to play the tank game.
Maybe Atlanta doesn't either.
Who tanks better than Davis Mills?
Yeah.
He doesn't even do it on purpose.
Well, he did not the last game. He screwed it up the last game.
If you're Carolina,
his reputation.
But if you're Carolina, you got to target Davis Mills. Darnold came in there and won games accidentally for them, and they're like, "What are you doing?"
You go get Sam Ehlinger is what you do.
Sam Ehlinger would help, but I think Davis Mills is a longer track record of losing.
Well, but he screwed it up. He ruined his reputation.
He didn't. He threw an interception.
And then he threw it right through the guy's hand.
That's what I'm saying. He threw an interception. He did his job. That one's on the safety for the Colts.
Who intercepted him earlier.
Yeah. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He got him into a 4th-and-20. And I'm sure the Texans were like, "What?" Except for Lovie. They were like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I threw an interception. I got it all the way
up.
We were in 4th-and-20, and I threw an interception, basically. What do you want me to do?"
Let's get Lamont in here. Lamont, what's going on?
Hey, man, I want to talk nothing much. Hey, Virgins, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. His mother and himself, they need to go to economics class and learn time value of money. A dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. You know, in the end, I think that young man is going to end up I see Dallas Keuchel written all over him. Dallas Keuchel. And Lance said something really I can't think of it right now verbatim, but I'm getting to the point now. I'm wondering if Lamar Jackson just want to be out of Baltimore, and if that is the case, he's in the catch 22. In other words, I think Lamar Jackson will be willing to play somewhere for cheaper,
less money.
But say for instance, a team do come in with a cheaper contract, and he's like, "Okay, I want to play for them." Then Baltimore can match it. So he's in a no-win situation right now. I did have one question for you guys. It appears that both Green Bay and Baltimore are willing to part ways with their players, and their players are willing to part ways. Why in the hell they just let me move Green Bay off the table. Why Baltimore just won't trade Lamar Jackson? Why is that not an option?
He's got to sign his franchise tag first. They didn't have the rights to him. So, in other words, they would be trading him if somebody grabs him and gives him the non-exclusive gives him an offer on his non-exclusive his exclusive.
But it's already set. It's for two first rounders. It's already set.
Right. It's for two first rounders. So basically, they would be trading him.
If they had given
him
an exclusive.
But they can't trade him because they don't have him signed.
If they had given him an exclusive, it would have been over $40 million. But then had he signed it, and supposedly he's not going to sign his non-exclusive so that they can't even trade him.
Yeah,
so I don't know what he's doing.
I'm going to go back to what I was saying. I see Dallas Keuchel on this guy. He's not going to get what he thinks he's going to get. And that's all I have to say.
It
takes one desperate owner.
Dallas Keuchel got – way less than he thought he was going to get.
Yeah, well, that's what
Dallas Lamar's, Teichel had.
That's what Lamont's saying, but I
don't
disagree.
Think so.
I think he'll get.
Lamar's going to get paid.
There's not a lot of quarterbacks.
He's still
like,
going to get 40.
He'll get,
the lowest he'll get is 40.
He's going to get at least Kyler's deal, at least.
He wants,
and I think it's more. I think he'll get upwards of $200 million guaranteed. I don't know that he's going to get $250 guaranteed, and here's the big problem. I had this discussion yesterday, and I know I'd heard it. I just didn't think about it. So you have to have money in an escrow account for these players. You have to have the cash. So if Lamar Jackson says he wants $250 million, there are some owners that can't come up with $250 million. To put in escrow, you got to put the entire amount in an escrow, because which is really hurting NFL. I think it's going to hurt NFL teams. So if you have to put $250 million, so if an owner makes, let's just say he makes 5% on his money, with it used to be 8. Let's just call it 5 with the way the economy is right now. Let's say he makes 5% on his money with his investments. So if you take 5% of $250 million, that's $12.5 million. So he's given up this $12.5 million for you, and he's having to come up with $250 million cash.
It's a football team. It's a business.
To put in an escrow.
Plus, he's getting how much
TV
money and everything
else. No. A lot of them don't. Like, the Colts don't have that cash money. Jim Irsay doesn't have that. There's a lot of owners who don't have that kind of cash. They can't move that kind of cash.
No, I know. Well, if it's a family-owned business, then that's true.
It's really
Bears,
tough. Yeah.
The Bengals.
Well, you're not supposed to borrow money from – you have to have it in your in your football stuff. You can't borrow it from your other stuff.
But guys who – this is not their only business – that's where you're struggling. The family-owned businesses are really, really – because this is where their moneymaker is.
And you can't come up with the escrow amount. And if the NFL Players Association changed that to where you didn't have to escrow all that money, it would make it easier for teams to flow.
I don't know if they're coming out here today. We're live at Wildcat for our occasional invitation.
The NFLPA, they're definitely not coming.
Pro Dunk, Keith Tate.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they're coming out here today, but I wish they were. Wouldn't it be great if we put up a goal? You know, they have – They have temporary goals, which is really, really cool.
For stuff like this.
Well, you can move it around, but it's still the best goal that you could possibly have. It's unbelievable how temporary goal, in-ground fixed height. Why would you have a fixed height goal when the kids want to lower it so they can dunk?
Right.
It's on you, but you can get that. You want in-ground adjustable, where the goal goes up and down. So your little kids can – or your big kids, they can have dunk contests. Maybe your big kids can dunk. Probably not. They're not that athletic that they can get up and dunk. So they want it lower, Dad. You can wall mount. You can roof mount the goal. Not as good. The kids want to dunk. They want you to lower – they want to lower the goal, Dad. We got the adjustable in-ground, and it was perfect for us. They were out there on the driveway. I knew where – JT was. He wasn't causing problems. He was in the front, in the driveway, playing basketball, dunking. When you go to the website, that's all you see is a bunch of kids dunking because they love that, Dad. They want to be able to reach the goal. And little kids can't even reach a 10-foot goal to shoot, let alone dunk. So, Dad, get them the in-ground adjustable goal, which is the best goal in the history of goals in the world. ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.